Hey, this is Eric Singer of Kiss, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City.
You're the best, man.
Yeah!
Joe here from Podcast Roxy, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hello. Dude, I'm stuck in black and white. I can't figure out how to get it in color.
That's okay. You're going to be the I Love Lucy episode down in the corner. Also with us, Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
That tagline should say, "We're about to make a miracle."
Also with us now down there, I don't know how it looks on Facebook and YouTube, but down there in the corner is Mr. Hollywood, Joey Quesada.
The real Hollywood. I don't know how the hell Pooney gets Lord. The title Hollywood. Explain to me how he's Hollywood Pooney.
I'm closer to Hollywood.
He's closer to Hollywood than all three of us.
That makes no sense at all.
Thank you guys for joining us. Podcast Rock City Live right here. No recordings. We're going to just do it. That's why you saw all that fucked up stuff at the beginning of the show. I hit the button, though, I promise. So now you guys are live with us. Please go share this on Facebook to all your favorite KISS Facebook group pages, and we're going to have a great time. Today, we got a tough topic. And we're going to do the best that we can. However, I did get a piece of mail. Now, I don't have a little bumper thing for the mail here, but I wanted to read it to you guys because it's kind of cool. Let's see. Simon, I'm going to mess up your name, but I'm going to go ahead with it. Simon Fogarty. All right, it's Fogarty, Sonny.
Is that
Fogarty?
Fogarty, okay.
I mean, really, Jeff? I was expecting some crazy name.
Fogarty? No, but I want
Well, Joey, he would have asked you, but you would have been just looking. It's like your turn to talk, dude.
But wait a second. Hold on now. Wouldn't Fogarty be Fogerty?
Well, I'm sure there's more than one way to spell Lucy and Fogarty, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, at least it wasn't like Sablewski or something.
Yeah. I would have been in a lot of trouble. Okay, so he wrote us a letter. And by the way, you can send us a letter at Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
See, that's why we don't leave it up to him.
At gmail.com. Podcast Rock City 1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. It says, "Hi, guys. I have never had the time for podcasts before, but since being in lockdown due to COVID-19, you know what I have to say about that. I have been checking a few out, and yours has become a favorite. Thank you, dude. I now will play them during the day at work, so I'm going at the work." I don't know how to read. I'm not an actor like you know who.
Funny.
"So I'm going back over the past few years and loving it. Although you had me screaming at you when you didn't know the Alive 4 situation." Now, you guys know what I'm talking about. That's that Millennium thing I think he's talking about, where there was a Millennium Alive 4 and another Alive. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
He still doesn't know.
It's fucking 2 years ago. I don't know shit.
Yeah, it was the Millennium, but the Millennium was never officially Alive 4. Is that right?
It says Alive 4 on it, I think.
It does? But I thought Symphony is Alive 4, right?
Right.
I think Symphony is Alive 4.
Yeah. We'll get into that. We'll do a whole show. We'll just bring Simon Fogarty on, and he can just tell us about it because he knows that I'm stupid. I just saying. Today was the 40th anniversary of Kiss's first show in my home city of Melbourne at an old football station, stadium, not station. I'll just stop now.
Which is real football or fake public park
where a small part of the public park, where a small part of the grandstand is still there, but the but all the car park land is now houses. I was 7 at the time of the show, so didn't go, but lived only a mile or two away and could hear it so clearly. Now, this is what I wanted to talk about. He mentions in here that he go that him and some he said I bought a bucket of KFC and chips, and then we told stories, and he did a Kiss picnic and listened to the show. Now the reason why I read this is because fucking A, Kiss fans are awesome, man. Think about that. Couldn't get into the show. Went to a park, sat down, listened to the show, had chicken and chips. Chips fries, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the word
cultured.
Is. Thank you.
Educated.
That's why I'm all of it. Anyway, Kiss fans are awesome. If you couldn't get into a show, would you go that far, or would you just say fuck it and go and sit home?
When I was younger, I'd go sit in the parking lot if I didn't have tickets, probably just to be somewhere near Kiss, you know. But nowadays, nah.
I used to live outside the Concord Pavilion here. And, you know, pavilions, it's got like an outdoor lawn, but it's covered mostly. And I used to live down the hill. And you could hear the shows, but, you know, you hear kind of a muffled music. And, you know, the one guy who's singing back up that his mic is too loud. So he sounds like he's off because you don't hear the rest of the melody. So it's not like you really hear it that great. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could sit in the parking lot and just listen.
Where I used to live in this small town. Well, it's not really that small, but small town called Ackworth. And the way it's really strange, the way the county is drawn, it's like you have to drive through one town from Ackworth through Kennesaw to get back to Ackworth. So it's really strange. But my backyard, I used to be able to hear the Speedway.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
And let me tell you, I was like 15 miles away. Those damn things are loud. Now where I live, I hear horses, chickens, and shotguns because we can shoot in our backyards and there's no...
Oh, I think you meant in that order. Horses, shotgun, no horses, chicken, shotgun, no more chickens.
Yeah, all of that. Anyway, I just thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to bring it up. Hopefully I didn't read that letter wrong and get something wrong. Oh, God, I'm really bad. All right, so that being said, let's get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So we were just discussing it before we got started. Hey, I can hear somebody's, I can hear myself in somebody's speaker, so I don't know what's going on. It's really weird. It's like a slapback. We were discussing Paul Stanley sent out a tweet. There it was again. And basically it said, we recorded 8 videos. Is that basically what it said, Joey?
No, here we go. I have it right here. Soul Station, we just shot 5 songs in 7 hours. 15 of us kicking ass without hot tub girls, sports cars, champagne, CGI, or special effects. Just an awesome band playing awesome music for our awesome album. Wow.
Why would you not want to have the first 3 things?
Yeah, none of this shit.
this is PC, you know, PC Stanley now. This is
totally.
he wants to be clean. He wants to be a chef and a wine drinker, and anything has to do with girls in the 80s, or God forbid cursing, he's going to distance himself from. If he should only hear himself back in the 80s, his live raps, every other word was the F word.
Mm-hmm.
What word is that?
Fun.
Yeah.
Fuh. Hey, Jody, what was your favorite 80s Paul Stanley rap? Didn't he talk about stuffing some turkey or something?
I like that one. My all-time favorite, though, happened at a show, my first Kiss show. He was talking about this girl in the front row had the biggest tits he's ever seen, and he'd like to make her drink Bosco so he could have some chocolate milk. And thanks to Gary Kapp, I actually have that clip.
Please, Jody, do me a favor. Tweet that to Paul right now and say, you mean you didn't have Bosco on the set?
Totally. I will.
He would just be more. I just know him. He would be. He's a shell of himself. He would be mortified of himself back in the 80s. And it's a shame because, listen, everyone is I'm sure he's matured since then, but it doesn't mean you have to distance yourself and make believe those years didn't happen.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, not to get political, but do you think that Paul Stanley would be the type of guy that would be worried about being canceled for saying and doing some of the shit that he did?
Absolutely.
Canceled on what?
No. This cancel culture thing. Did you see or hear what Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons did 35 years ago?
I think Paul from the very beginning has, and if anyone who's read his book, I think knows this. His main thing in life was always acceptance. He always wanted to be accepted, whether it was from his parents, his teachers, his friends, then his fans, then critics, culture, whatever it is. He's always trying to do something to be accepted. And now he thinks because we live in this PC world, but now he thinks what we should do is everything should be clean cut, no cursing, bike rides, masks, no hot tubs, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's like he's always been like a trend follower. You know, back in the 80s, it was trendy to talk dirty on stage like David Lee Roth or whatever. So that's what he did. And now he's Mr. PC and super boring and totally lame.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see a video with a hot tub with, you know, five guys like Pooney in the hot tub. But a nice hot tub video is okay, too.
Yeah. But it probably costs too much to have those models get in there with a 70-year-old man. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Yo, just so you know, Paul's watching. I just followed this.
Yeah, and he's sorry, like, Paul. Joey Quesada, you mother...
You motherfucker.
I can't say what F word anymore. Yeah. I think maybe it's possible that it's a little bit of the cancel culture and a little bit also of leaving something behind for your kids that they could watch. Even the act. Okay, but listen, here's the thing. There's an actor. I'm trying to think of his name. He's the dude that played Sid in Sid and Nancy. You guys know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I know the guy, but I don't know his name.
Okay, anyway, they asked him why he did the Harry Potter movies. And he said, so I did them so I would have a movie my kids could watch. Gary Oldman.
Yeah, okay.
So,
I mean, listen, that's okay, too. If you want to do the clean stuff because of those reasons, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But, you know, even my book, I kept everything clean in my book. I didn't go crazy in my book. I want my kids to read it one day. I get it. But it doesn't mean you all of a sudden have to be Mr. Prim and Proper. That's what drives me crazy because – it's see-through. It looks and feels fake. It's not him.
Okay, right. Now how about this? Is it at all possible that Paul has always been this guy, just not on stage?
I don't think so. Think about all the things he did just to piss his parents off, you know, with sleeping with all his women and like rubbing it in their faces.
With his mom.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't in the public eye. He just liked to push their fucking buttons, you know. But he was a young guy back then. Maybe it's just that he's old and reserved now.
Never mind some of the things Rachel Gordon accused him of.
That's just a little too much.
I think it's possible he's been this guy, just not on stage the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, you're right.
But not in the 80s.
Definitely not in the 80s or the 70s.
When did he marry his new wife? Do we know when was that? That was mid 2000s,
I think. Yeah,
early 2000s, I think. I think that's when he became PC Paul. When he got his new wife and stuff like that, I think that's when, again, unfortunately, and fortunately for him, I guess, I really believe that, you know, money is a big thing. Money, you know, can do, make you do what, you know, push you in a different direction. Meaning, throughout the 80s, they were pushing the envelope. He was wearing the, you know, the F-U-C-K t-shirts on stage and all that stuff. Because, you know, they're trying to push the envelope because they're trying to stay relevant. They're trying to make money. But then when the reunion happened, and then the reunion was a success, and they became multi-millionaires again, I think, okay, now he's like, okay, now I have my money in the bank. I'm set. I don't have to do anything else pushing the envelope anymore. Now I'm just going to kind of sit back and be, you know, prim and proper.
And maybe it has something to do with he wants to do something with Nike or Puma again, or Adidas or McDonald's or Hilton, or, and they're just like, yeah, you can't be this guy
yeah.
at all.
The fuck shirts right. on the commercials.
That but we'd like you to do My Girl, and I wish it would rain now, and then, you know, it'd be good.
A Paul Stanley Aquafina commercial? When I'm not on stage and I need to quench my thirst, I drink Aquafina. Yeah.
That's pretty good, Joe.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's that's all I have. All right, so I'm tired of that because Soul Station's record will come out. I guess maybe a video is going to come with it, which sound that's great. Look, I support Paul Stanley. That's what I do. I support Ace Frehley. I support Gene Simmons. I support Peter Criss. I don't have to say them all. There's one of them that I don't support anymore. Fuck that guy. But the rest of them, I support. I'll say Bruce Kulick as well. Also, hey, if you guys don't know, down in Sarasota, they're going to have a KISS convention next month. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm going to try to do an interview this week with the people putting it on. So if you want to go down there, I haven't decided yet. Karen, of course, is like, go. And I'm like, it's wow. in the middle of December.
They're doing a KISS convention in, wow.
Okay. Damn straight they are. They're going to have some fun and live their lives. And I don't know what else is going to happen. But anyway, we'll talk more about that because they got like a few guests too, I think. I'm not 100% on this, but I think Rick Derringer is going to be there. I think Bruce Kulick's going to be there. I think Kearns is going to be there.
Wait, Rick Derringer still alive?
I don't know. Is it maybe?
Okay.
We'll look it up. I'll look it up. Anyway,
maybe,
all right.
Maybe a weekend like Bernie's Rick Derringer, if not.
Yeah.
Man, if I he's don't frozen in
carbonite, like.
I don't want to get into this conversation because if anything happens to Rick Derringer, it's going to be on you fuckers.
It's all right. Fault. He brought it up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was the news. Let's get to the topic of the week. Man, let me tell you first before we get going. This damn topic is all Joey's fault. So at the end, look at his shirt. Where'd you get that shirt, Joey?
What the hell is it called? Click T-Shop.
Good Lord. Yeah. Can you get any hint on time?
Click T-Shop. And that's the number one at Click T-Shop.
Yes. Right? Okay. All right. Here we go.
Podcast Rock City. Topic of the week.
So this week, Joey hits us with, "Hey, let's do an ultimate Peter Criss set list. Like, if you were to see Peter Criss live, what would the set list be? What would be the best set list?" And Sonny said,
"Five songs."
Hold on, that's not exactly what I said. They kind of shortened the subject down to this.
Okay, you tell them what we're doing.
What I said was, and again, obviously it's hard to communicate with apes, but when I first brought this topic up, I said I really thought that Peter Criss missed the boat when right after he left KISS, and he, you know, obviously he started pushing his solo career. He had so many big Kiss songs and Kiss songs that were never played live that if he would have went out there and toured heavily on a Kiss set list, meaning the Peter songs, I thought that he could have really had a, not only a great live show, but a killer set list. And really, even to this day, he's never really done that. He did it a little bit when him and Ace toured, but he never went out there and embraced all of his Kiss songs.
Right. Do you think it's because he was trying to, you know, he wanted to distance himself from the band, you know, like he left because he was going to be this big, you know, soft rock singer?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. And I get it. I understood what he, why he did it, but I just think he missed the boat. Even like I mentioned before, when we were off camera, I thought even after the reunion, if he wanted to, he could have went out and had a strong solo career for at least 4 or 5 years, just touring on all the songs you never get to hear Peter play.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
No, I agree. I mean, he could have done something like that. I don't know why.
Pride. And
yeah,
he didn't write a lot of those songs where Ace wrote a lot of that stuff, right? So he felt comfortable doing it. And I'm not sure how much pride Ace would have anyway. He'd just go do it anyway. But I'm with Joey. I think he missed a ton of money. Because if you're thinking as, and think about this, as Kiss is struggling in 81, 82, and they haven't come back in 83 yet, Peter could have been the guy out there. Everybody's saying, see, you did need Peter. Like now that we're armchair quarterback, he missed a huge opportunity.
Yeah, he could have done the shows in makeup.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that's a great point, Joe. Peter still had his makeup at that point. Can you imagine if Peter went out in his makeup and did stuff? He wanted to distance himself from that. It was the last thing on his mind. But, you know, I think also part of the problem, and people forget this, and obviously big Kiss fans don't, but the average fan doesn't realize that Peter Criss, I forget the exact year, but Peter Criss was getting a fourth of all Kiss monies for years after he left. He was still a fourth member of the corporation. So he was getting a quarter of everything Kiss was doing, I think until like 87, I'm going to say, right? Does anyone know the date? I'm sure someone watching right now would know.
Right.
Man, that's a long time to make money for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He was all that elder money.
But I think that's when you see somebody's, and it's not just Peter and Ace, it's anybody. That's when you see somebody's work ethic. Right. Money's coming in. I don't really got to work. So whatever. They're not thinking about that will stop at some point. Right. The very thing that you're out there pimping that they're nobody without me. You're counting on them continuing to make money and pay a fourth. You know, you get a fourth of it. Like sooner or later, you got to think about that. But the problem is time goes by fast. So you stop working, man, it's hard to get back into the groove.
John Clark just made a point. I don't know if this is true or not, but I wonder if this is true. He just wrote, 3/4 of his income would have gone to Kiss, whatever he made touring and stuff. Is that true?
I don't know.
That could be. If that's the case, then it all makes sense. I'm not sure, John, if that's true or not. But if he was still getting a quarter of Kiss's income and then whatever he did, Kiss got 3/4 of that income. That
Kiss was going to get money from it.
Wow.
Huh.
Maybe that's why those demos didn't come out till what, 87 or whatever.
It could be. Ace was still on board too, because Ace, you know, they paid Ace a lot of money because they had to keep Ace in the band to do stuff a lot of, at that point, you know, the three members. So
yeah, Jared just said the same thing. He said, that's why Ace's album took so long to come out. Anyway, so we decided to go ahead and put together our own Peter Criss set list. I just looked at my hands on camera and I feel like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. It's very strange. Okay, so
last week you're conscious of you had the tickle fingers going.
Yes.
Oh yeah. But how come he's not conscious of his breathing then?
Am I breathing again?
No, I'm not. Only
that one episode you were breathing very heavy, Joe.
Yeah, of course, because Kerry Stevens was sitting in front of me. Good grief. All right, so let's go ahead and put their set list together. I will tell you that my set list will be the most perfect set list out of all of us. Hmm. Yes. You want to, Sonny, do you want to write them down so we can vote on them? Do you feel like doing that? Or if you don't, just say no.
Sure, I can do it. There's no issue.
Okay. Okay. So we can, we will put these on the Facebook group page, and then next week we'll let everybody know that I won.
I think mine's going to win.
Jody's like, I picked songs that Paul wrote that Peter could sing, so they would be awesome. All right, so all Peter Chris material plus all Kiss material. Anything you want to sing.
Anything you want. Yeah, whatever you want to sing.
Whatever you want to sing, he could sing. Okay, but now I'm not going to lie. I might have cheated a little.
So did I.
Okay, just so you know. Okay.
Had to.
Yeah, I mean, I kept mine to my own rules just because I wanted to see what a set list would look like in my mind in 1982 or whatever it was. So I kind of kept it to those rules. You know, you mopes can do whatever you want.
All right, I'll go first. You guys want, I'll go first?
Sure.
One song or two songs, Sonny?
I don't care.
Okay, we'll just do one song. Here we go. Opening the show, here he is, Peter Criss! And
two people that are there. Do two songs. Otherwise,
okay. I'm gonna do Hooked on Rock and Roll, and then Strange Ways.
Okay,
I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah, I figured that you got to start with Hooked on Rock and Roll. When I went and saw him live for that final show, I mean, he started with I Can't Stop the Rain, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me, man. But you know, he got to go, hey, it's New York,
right?
And I was like, okay. And then he walked up and fucked up the lyrics. Okay, who's next?
Joey.
Joey. Okay, so I'm gonna open with "You Wanted the Best, You Got the Best," the hottest drummer in the world, Peter Criss. All right, so my first song would be Baby Driver, leading off with Baby Driver.
That's
right,
cool.
Into No Break, right into Getaway.
Cool.
Again, to me, these are songs. When Gene kind of went out on his little solo tour, it kind of opened up all these doorways to me. Anyway, in my mind, he did so many songs to me that I always thought were throwaways, and when he did them live with his band, I was like, wow. You know what? If Gene did a solo tour in the '80s with these songs, it would have been killer. And I think the same thing with Peter. He opens the show with Baby Driver, and in the '80s, I'm losing my mind.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jake.
All right, so I had to pull a Quesada, dude. I had to just kind of change the rules just a little bit. And
just
because
a little bit.
I was looking at the Peter Criss songs, and there wasn't even 15 that I could go with. So what I did was I decided I'm going to have Peter Criss sing songs that maybe he should have sang on Kiss records, and it could have been really cool. So I just went down the records and picked the ones I think would have been cool if Peter sang them. So two at a time, I have off the first record, 100,000 Years, and Watching You off Hotter Than Hell.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Imagine Peter Criss singing those songs because, you know, both of them are kind of rocky, a little bit screamy. It would fucking, he would rock that shit, I think. But
yeah, I like it.
All right, so I got to read a couple of these comments because they're too funny. When I said just five songs, John Clark said that's four too many. And then Grayson said nobody wins with a Peter Criss solo playlist. That's very interesting.
What the hell is wrong with everybody?
So let me set the mood for you here.
All right.
Peter leaves in May of 80. My show is getting played New Year's Eve, 1980. Okay. We're in Glen Falls, New York, at the Glen Falls Civic Center, 7,700 capacity. They sold 4,000 tickets, but only 666 showed up because of a snowstorm. They wanted Cool and the Gang to open because Celebrated just got released and they just came off Ladies' Night. But Cool and the Gang told him fuck off. So he had Loverboy open since Loverboy's first album just got released in December. All right.
Okay.
Peter's not planning on playing drums. He is only going to do lead vocals. He's got Stan Penridge on guitar. He asked Jack Bruce from Cream to come play bass. He's got Benny Harrison on keyboards because that's who helped him on the last album he just released. Cozy Powell on drums because that's Jack Bruce's friend. He's got two ladies and a male guy doing backup vocals. So he's got a whole entourage up there with two names from the time. And my first two songs are Hooked on Rock and Roll, right in the main line.
Okay.
Cool. And Peter's band is called Soul Station.
Solo Station.
It is pretty funny how Soul Station sounds like the Peter Criss solo album. Isn't that weird?
That's weird. No, his band's called The Litter Box.
I love it. I love it.
I like that. All right, my next two. I went with I Can't Stop the Rain. And after a slow one, you got to kind of rock it out. And I went with Baby Driver after that. I love that song, Baby Driver.
These songs are all so underrated. And I'll even reference the solo album, too. Some of these songs live with the right band, the right atmosphere. Again, you're hearing a production value of Vinnie Poncia on those on that record. So a live performance with the right band, if Sonny's band is kicking, and you know you have Jack Bruce up there and Cozy Pal, come on, it'll sound killer with stuff like this. I love the band, Sonny. I think Peter, almost much like the Ringo All Stars when he does that. I think Ringo does still jump up and play drums a couple times. So I would still, to me, Peter still has to play drums on most of these songs, maybe jump out in front once in a while. But to me, it's still all about Peter on the drum kit playing. I think you put the drums up front, you have him still lead the band, much like Buddy Rich was always in front with his orchestra and stuff like that. You have Peter up front with the band singing, making sure you have cameras on him at all times and stuff. So my next two songs would be Strange Ways, again, one of the most underrated Kiss songs ever. I didn't even know when I was a kid, I had no idea Peter was even singing that. I just remember loving it. I didn't even realize it was Peter. And then I'm going to go with my first solo album song. That's the Kind of Sugar That Papa Likes.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a
terrible song.
Dirty song.
Oh, so good.
The title of a porno back in the 70s.
That's
yeah. Right. Yeah. Hey, you want to hear something funny? I watched 40-Year-Old Virgin with my son the other day, and I ruined Harry Potter for him forever when the guy handed him the porno movie that was called Harry Twatter. I'm just saying.
Nice.
Ruined my son said, "That's enough. Thank you." And he got up and he left. I was apologetic. I didn't know it was coming. I mean, I've seen the movie, but who remembers that part? Anyway, all right, Jody.
All right, so I'm still on the track of Peter singing other songs that other guys did in the band. I think he could save Two Timer. I think he would rock that and also Sweet Pain. Both kind of underrated tunes in my book, but with the right screamy rock vocal from Peter Criss, would totally rock.
Look, I really think Jody's going to win already, just so you know.
I already told you.
You haven't heard the rest of mine yet. Relax. Okay,
keep going.
All right, so he opened with Hooked on Rock and Roll, went straight into main line. So it's usually the third song where it's time to go take a piss. So here comes a new song off his new album, Out of Control. So he's going to play In Trouble again, because that's one of the songs I can actually stomach off that album.
Yeah.
And then because it's New Year's Eve, it's a party. So you can't just play like rock songs. You got to throw some other stuff in. So he's going to do a cover of Twist and Shout.
That'd be cool.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
He's got the screamy John Lennon kind of vocal.
That's right.
That'd be sweet. I thought you were going to say Celebrate Cool and the Gang.
He can't pull that off.
Well, since they told him to fuck off and everything.
Yeah.
Joey.
No, it's so you.
It's me. My bad. Okay. Okay, next two songs. After Baby Driver, we're going to go into Strutter. I thought Peter singing Strutter would sound cool. And I just felt like, you know, I drew a blue duck because I always wanted to see a blue duck. Nobody gets that. Okay. And after that, we're going to bring it down to Don't You Let Me Down. Baby.
I love that song.
Don't you let me down. Do it, Joey, do the backup vocals. Hold on. Baby. Don't you let me down.
Can't even hit that cue, Joey. Come on, man.
I mean, Joe sang the part and then went back and sang it again.
I did. I effed it all up. Okay, my bad. Jody.
It's Joey. No,
Joey's next.
Joey's right. Next.
Why is he?
Sonny, lead the show. I'm drunk.
Right. We can't have idiots lead us.
Joey, you're up.
So my next two, again, two classic Kiss songs that I want to hear all the time. Obviously, we never get to hear them anymore. Hooligan, and then straight into Hard Luck Woman. Again, two songs that over the years you just forget about because Peter's not in the band anymore, and they didn't even do these songs in the reunion stage either. But it's just two amazing songs. Hooligan, Live, you know, on a Live 2 is killer. And, you know, obviously, even Hard Luck Woman is a song that live, it could be so much more than it is on the album. I just would kill to hear Peter do these songs live. I think it would be amazing.
You guys out there that are listening and watching, I will be post. I found a full video of Peter's last solo show from New York City, and I'm going to post it on the group page if you guys want to go and watch it. Sonny right now has got dirty thoughts. Like, why would you do that? You try. Yeah. It's good. It's good. I was there. Maybe you'll see me in the crowd. Okay, who's
That's
next,
the
Sonny?
Kind of sugar Pony likes.
Jody.
My next two, these are in no particular order. I just kind of went down the records. So I have Take Me and All American Man, both of which Peter would rule if he sang. Maybe not as good as Paul, but damn close.
Damn, Peter singing All American Man.
With that kind of scratchy.
I like that.
Is he 6 foot? What's he going to do? I'm a 5'10 All American.
but not when he's wearing boots.
Way, first of all, there's no way Peter's. Yeah, maybe Peter's 5'10 with the boots, maybe.
Right.
I'm a 5'10. That would be better. I'm just saying.
All right. So my next two. So after Twist and Shout cover, we're going to go to a couple of his staples. Don't Let Me Down. Don't You Let Me Down and Hard Luck Woman. Right. Nice. So we gotta do those. There's no way around that.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, Joe.
My next two after, Don't You Let Me Down was Hooligan. Once again, I love Peter singing that song. That's just a great song. And then after that is You Matter to Me. And that's why
I love it.
I like that song.
Damn, I want to see Peter live again now.
Again, I'll say it 100 times. I know I say it all the time. Peter's solo album is underrated. I don't care what anyone says. I'd love to hear Paul's review on it now after he's doing, you know, just so everyone knows, Peter's solo album has nothing to do with jazz. Whatever. The next person that refers to it as it's a jazzy album, you're an idiot. Because there's no jazz in that album. It's a full-on rock and roll album. That's what it is. It's old school rock and roll. That's all it is. There's no jazz. Obviously, there's the ballads, of course, but it's just an old school rock and roll soul album. That's what it is. So my next two are Hooked on Rock and Roll. Got to have that from his soul album, of course. And then the only non-Peter vocal song, even though he's going to sing it live, is You Got to Have 100,000 Years in there. The same way Jody put it in. But of course, midway through the set, I got to throw Peter's. Obviously, he's going to throw his drum solo in this too. Not only is he going to sing it live, but he's going to do the drum solo, and then maybe he'll even do the rap in the middle, like after the drum solo. So I'd love to hear Peter really go nuts on this one. Vocal.
That'd be cool. I'd love to hear him do this, that rap in the middle, too.
That'd be so crazy. Cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, Jody.
I have the next two. I have Tomorrow and Tonight, which would totally work for Peter's voice, and also Speed and Back to My Baby. Another rapper.
I would like that.
That would kick ass with his vocal.
Speeding back, perfectly, Jody, that's perfect. Speeding Back to My Baby is something that could totally be on Peter's solo album. If you had the production from Peter's solo album on that song, it would be a perfect match. And vice versa, if you took all of Peter's solo songs and gave him to Eddie Kramer and have Ace play guitar on them, they would sound like Speeding Back to My Baby.
Totally.
Great pick, Jody.
Thanks, bro.
Wow, they had a love fest going on.
All right, so for mine, we went from Don't You Let Me Down to Hard Luck Woman. Now we got to speed it back up a little. Again, we're at New Year's Eve. So he's going to do a cover of Blue Suede Shoes. Because like he will rock that song.
Yeah.
And then go straight into Hooligan.
Oh, can't go wrong with Hooligan.
Blue Suede Shoes is good too.
Because he can do any of those 50s, 60s. Yeah. He can do any of them. Now, whether I think he can do them well or blah, 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 when you got Jack Bruce and Cozy Powell, pretty much everything's going to sound good. It doesn't really matter. As long as the vocal's there, sometimes what gets, just like Joey said, what gets me with Peter is, it's like, dude, can you just like rock it up a little? Like the sappy stuff, like just crunch this up a little bit. That's why I like Hooked on Rock and Roll. I wish the whole album was that way.
Yeah, well, you know, he wanted to do 50. He wants to do 50 Beths.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
My next two are Hard Luck Woman. And then the only song off of that I picked up after off of a Peter Criss solo album that wasn't from Kiss, and that was Words. I enjoyed it when he sang that when I saw him. I didn't even ever hear it. But after he sang it, I went back and checked it out, and I really liked that song. Have you guys all heard Words? Okay, good. I don't feel so stupid.
Joey.
My next two, so off of Dynasty, Dirty Living. Again, another underrated Peter song. Of course, production value-wise, it just never comes through on Dynasty. If you make that sound like Hooligan, then I think it's a killer song. You know what I mean? I think live, I wish I would have went Sonny's route and picked out a full band and all that stuff. But, if you know, you got to get a dirty, really thick, heavy guitar player for, not metal guitar player, but an ace-type bluesy guitar player for Peter to have as part of his band. I think it would have really rocked these songs up. Dirty Living is one of them that really, really would have benefited from that. And then the next one, Tossing and Turning. It wasn't one of my first picks on his solo album, but I wanted to do it just because that is, I think, the only song they've ever done live, right, off his solo album. They did that on the Dynasty Tour, like the medley. So I got to throw that in.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, just because the audience would know it because it was a live staple for the Dynasty Tour.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Jody.
I got my next two were staples on the Dynasty Tour as well. I have Move On and Radioactive. With Peter on those, nice. Would be awesome.
Radioactive. Wow.
Well, that's the only one that I could think of off Gene's album that Peter would really work on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't think he can do Living in Sin?
He could, but I just don't want to hear it.
He could, but I just don't want to hear it.
I hate that song.
All right. So my 9th and 10th are ones we've mentioned. Baby Driver, because you got to do it, and then Dirty Living, because you got to do it. So now, because I'm getting to a point where it's becoming more harder rock and roll, so Baby Driver and Dirty Living is kind of starting that.
Cool.
Joe.
My next two songs are Nothing to Lose. And then I wanted him to do now when I saw I'm bringing this up because I would have never thought about this. If I hadn't ever seen it. Okay. But, Joey was talking about the Peter Criss, drum solo. Now, I'm not sure that this counts as something like that, but when I saw him, he did the Gene Krupa song, Sing, Sing, Sing with the band. And I thought it rocked. I went over and showed it to a drummer friend of mine that is very proper. And he was like, it's really not that good, bro. And, but to me, I thought it was amazing. Anyway. So Sing, Sing, Sing.
I saw clips of Peter doing Sing, Sing. Listen, drum snobs are not going to think it's the Gene Krupa's Sing, Sing, Sing. You know what I mean? It's not going to be, Peter doesn't have that style. He's not, again, he's not a jazz player. People think he's a jazz player. He's not. He's a feel player. He's a He's a shuffle type player. It's not a jazzy type feel that he has. But what he did to Sing 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 was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, it was too fun, man. It was great. He really looked like he was into it too. That was the most fun part of it.
Yep. Joey.
Okay, so I'm getting towards the end. I did a 15-song set list. I did 13 songs with two encores. So I'm on the last three of the actual proper set list. So then my next two would be Mainline. Again, it's one of those songs, even though with Eric singing it on the cruise, you could really hear how killer that song could be live. It's just as soon as you hear that riff, it's an old school Kiss song. I know it's a little bit, you know, non-rocker feel on Hotter Than Hell, but, you know, soup that up in today's world, I think it would be a killer live song. And then, you know, slowing it down right before the close of the set is Don't Let Me Down. One of my favorite songs from our Peter solo album.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yep. Jody.
I have Sure Know Something and Getaway. Had to go circle back around to the records again. I didn't want to go past Dynasty. So Sure Know Something, you know, it's kind of in that same, what did he call it, soul rock vein as his solo record. And Getaway just fucking rips, so had to do it.
Somebody said he should have covered My Ding-a-Ling. Once
did
I
Kiss ever get away? No, right? Wall,
slipped in, had a terrible fall.
Wow.
Fell so hard I heard bells ring, but held on to my ding-a-ling.
13-inch ding-a-ling.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, sorry. I remember listening to that on the radio going, he's saying ding-a-ling, and you know what he's talking about, right? Okay.
All right, so my encore actually starts at song 12. So, like I said, those last four songs for the encore are going to be rocking. We went from Baby Driver to Dirty Living to Nothing to Lose to Black Diamond. So Black Diamond is not closing the show, right? It's going to be the song right before the encore. Joe.
Damn. Okay, so so we got three songs left.
Joe, do your final three if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'll do. Okay, so I can't remember what I – Sing, Sing, Sing. Then he's going to do Beth. Of course, I actually have a recording of that still on my phone of him singing it, and you can totally hear me singing with it. So I ruined it, but – I can say the last time Peter sang Beth publicly, I did a duet with him. Anyway.
You ruined it.
I ruined it, yes. I'm not. It's okay. It's fine. Okay, so Beth.
Something like, Beth, I hear you calling.
It's really not that bad.
You probably hear Joe crying, Peter.
You definitely hear some tears falling.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, all right. And then after Beth, he says, these last two songs. Okay, I got to do Peter. These last two songs are. All right, first, I want to let everybody know I'm not mad at the boys. I love the boys. I wish I could see the boys and hang out with the boys and the boys. Anyway. And then he says, these last two songs are going to sum up my life. And then he would do My Way and then Rock and Roll All Night.
Okay. That's a great
My Way.
I might actually throw that in.
I'm assuming you're talking Sinatra.
I might throw it into my set list right away.
Okay. Yes, just wanted Sinatra. To make sure we weren't talking the Paul Stanley version.
Crazy Night. That'd be crazy.
Just for the record, I love the Crazy Nights version, but I can't see Peter.
I do
singing.
Too. I just can't imagine Peter singing it. There you go. All right, Joey.
I hate to give Joe credit, but that's a good one, Joe. I almost
Thank
feel like
you.
Putting it in and then maybe editing you out saying it.
Putting it in and then taking me out. That's you wouldn't be the first person to do that.
My final three. So to close the show would be Nothing to Lose. Again, great show closer. Peter, you know, could either sing the whole thing or just the choruses like he does live now, but great show closer. And then the obvious two encores, he comes out, sings Beth, and then closes the show with a big, you know, gigantic Black Diamond.
Right on.
Cool.
Right. All right, Jody.
All right, my last three are somewhat predictable, but you had to have them. I had to have Baby Driver, had to have Hooligan. I'm just going to close the show with Big Black Diamond. Got to have Black Diamond. It's like the best Kiss song that he ever did. Maybe the best Kiss song ever. I don't know. Maybe today.
Yeah, damn. Bold statement by Black and White 50s Jody. I just keep waiting for this week. Jody is sponsored by Ajax. Ajax is
makeup by Max Factor.
All right, so because he's already at the encore stage, he did his 12 songs, and he was obviously didn't have makeup on, right? Because there's no reason for the makeup. He comes back from his encore. And he's got something in his hand, but he's not showing anybody what it is. And then he comes up to the mic and says, I got a friend joining us. And here comes Ace. But he's got one of those plastic Ace Halloween masks on. Because he can't let his identity out. It's New Year's Eve 1980.
Oh, yeah.
So then, then Peter puts his plastic mask, Kiss mask on.
Peter I'm getting chills.
Right? And they do Parasite, Strange Ways, Getaway.
Nice.
Love it.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Big bombastic ending. Everybody, you know, clapping, blah, blah, blah. They leave the stage. Peter comes out for a second encore. Him and Stan Penridge, only two stools, and you do an acoustic Beth, and that's it. You're done.
Awesome.
Yep. Cool. Well, that was a little more fun than I expected, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
Well, what I was hoping would happen, which did happen, what I didn't want to do was pick all Peter's solo album songs. The solo albums stink. They're not good. I don't mean the Peter Chris solo album in 78. I mean Out of Control, you know, Let Me Go, all that stuff. That's the type of stuff that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to pick... Because that's what he tried to do, and it didn't work. I wanted to do something different and say, okay, what if he didn't go the solo album route and went these rock and roll songs by Kiss and, you know, even Jody's picks, killer. Love it.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody's going to go solo like that, you cannot, if you're going to try to use the name that you just made, you can't walk away from the stuff that made your name.
I know.
Like, that's one of the reasons people went.
The only reason,
he tried so hard to get away from that. And listen, I understand at the time he's thinking, okay, I'm going to be a big solo star. I'm going to, you know, sell records like Kiss does. I don't need those songs. I have all this new stuff, but it obviously in retrospect, it was the opposite of what he should have done.
Totally.
Damn.
Do you think if Peter would have waited like Ace did, it would have made a difference? You know, like there was a little gap and then everyone's really hungry for Ace. If Peter would have waited a few years, do you think it would have made a difference?
I think it matters if Peter comes out with the right type of music. I think Fraley's comment hit basically when synthesizers were getting a little bit bigger. There's a lot more melodic songs out there and Ace is writing the right things. Is Peter going to be doing that, or is he doing like blue-eyed soul type of 50s, 60s type party rock? I don't think that's going to fly in 1986.
Right.
I think it would have mattered just to have Peter's frame of mind change, meaning he was so anti-Kiss when he left Kiss, there was no way he was going to do Hooligan and Baby Driver and all that stuff in his set list. Right. But if he waits till 85... 86, maybe he embraces it and says, hey, I'm going to use that stuff to launch my solo career. And just like, you know, even though Ace, you know, obviously played Frehley's Comet song, he still did Rip It Out and other Kiss songs in his set list. So I think maybe Peter could have done the same.
Yeah. And the second part of it, the second part of the question is, if Peter Chris came out in whatever year, even in like 82 or whatever, with that rock record, what would have happened? Would it make a huge difference? Or would it have already been kind of like
people? He always said he was going to do a rock record. He never did.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. Cat One. What is it? Cat One? That's a rock record.
Yeah, but it's too little too late at that point.
Yeah, you know? There's a couple songs on there that are pretty awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it would have done anything in 82. 82, you know, when you're talking about a rock record, if you're talking about, you know, a, like a Scorpions record or, you know, a Priest record, maybe, but right. not the rock that Peter was going to come out with, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it all depends. You know, these are the stories. We know some of them, and I think some of them we just know myth of what the story actually is. So if he's really into drugs and drinking as hard as Paul and Gene continue to say he was, then when he is fired, walks away, whatever, when he split from Kiss, and we'll say that's at the end of May 80, then there's no reins on him. Does that put him worse? That's not going to put him better, supposedly, right? And then what is Casablanca telling him? Like, somebody's in his ear telling him do something. Now, if there's this thing about whatever money you make, 3/4 of it, you don't get to keep. Okay, that's a shitty deal. I guess if somebody gave you $2-3 million to do it, then I guess I would have to think about sit at home and enjoy my $2-3 million. I guess I don't know. Or I don't know. If somebody had me in his ear, you know, the record company's yapping at him. They want to make money off of him too. They couldn't have been happy that the record stunk.
Right.
Yeah. Richard had a great point just now. He should have made more of a Hall & Oates style record, which I was about to say he should have come out with, you know, if he would have waited a little bit longer, a Brian Adams type record, a Rick Springfield type record, those type of records, I think would have done Peter justice. He would have never come out with a heavy record, no matter what. It's just not Peter. But rather than go rock and roll, if he went pop, but songwriter pop, like Brian Adams, you know, in the early 80s, you know, Run to You and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If Peter would have done stuff like that, I think he could have, you know, he could have taken off.
I think so, too. Because he has a fucking great voice, you know what I mean? Or had.
Yeah.
So he really wasted it.
I don't know who that is because I can't see the name, but it says, would he have done better if he'd joined an established band like the Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, that's Grayson. That's Grayson.
I don't know.
On drums or vocals?
Like, or both.
Maybe
both.
I got a question for you guys. So, you know, history kind of wrote itself. Paul and Gene having a hard time not being seen as the comic guys in makeup. And anybody taking them seriously, 83, 84, 85, as they're trying to reestablish themselves, right?
Right.
First of all, does Peter have the same problem if he jumps into something else because he's the cat man? Or because nobody knows what he looks like, does he just dismiss that altogether and come out as a new artist and nobody knows the difference, so he doesn't got to hear that crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that alter ego that, what's his name had? Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Chris Gaines, right?
I actually love that record. I think that's a great record. I know it flopped, but that's a great record. Peter has, even though he has that Kiss stigma attached to him, he has to come out as Peter Chris. He has to, whether he joins the Doobie Brothers or joins another established band, he has to still hold on to Peter Criss. You got to remember, Beth is a monster hit. He can't just throw that away. That's his legacy.
Yeah.
Didn't I read somewhere that there was an offer maybe, or he tried out for an established band? Did I read this somewhere? Maybe someone watching will know. I could have sworn I read somewhere that there was an offer for Peter to join I forget what band it was, and he just wasn't ready to jump into another band yet.
He would have done great on a cruise. Like, if he would have been like sitting in the room holding a drink, my kind of down, you're beautiful. And then end it with Beth.
Right.
I don't know.
It would have went over better than Paul Stanley cooking pasta. That's for sure on a cruise.
I've seen that. I've seen the Brussels sprouts. Anyway, all right. So you guys can send us your opinion. Joey, listen, heads up, man. We're going to do this.
Yeah, here comes a cue.
Here we go.
We're going to cue you before the cue.
All right, here we go. You guys can give us your opinion. All you have to do is send us a message. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. And because Joey said that all of Peter's solo albums were crap, make sure that the hate mail is attention Joey C. This way I can forward it to him because I will get it. And
You can put Sonny on there too. Because on my other podcast, we were thinking about doing like a top 10 Peter Chris, you know, just kind of doing an offshoot Kiss thing. And we were going to encompass everything that he had done. And then after I listened to it, I'm like, Steven, don't bother. I don't want to put you through that much pain.
No, but I got to tell you, it's a shame because I think there's a lot of good songs throughout those records. As holes, no, they're not great records, but you could take all his solo stuff and build his 78 record to me is really good. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking starting with Out of Control. You can build to me a really great record. The problem was, and I actually don't know who produced some of those records. Do you know who produced the first two? Do we know? I don't remember.
I don't have any idea.
But the problem was he's singing so out of tune in some of those songs that the producer's not telling him. And they release those songs and he's singing out of key. It doesn't sound good because he's flat, or most of the time he's flat, but it just doesn't sound right. Whereas the 78 solo album, even if you don't like the songs and stuff like that, it's the production on it is slick. Peter's vocals sound incredible. There's nothing, there's nothing that was released that was bad. Whereas the other stuff, there's just bad production on it.
Didn't Paul say they had a hard time with Peter singing, getting him to sing in key?
Yeah, he said that in his book.
I never believed it, but...
Yeah, we sounded good live. So, I mean.
So what's interesting is Out of Control is produced by David Wolfert and Peter Criss. But then the very guy who didn't think he could play drums to begin with, Vinnie Poncia, does his next record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know that. Wow.
Well, I'm Peter Criss out.
Me too.
That's awesome. All right, so here's the deal. Thank you, guys.
Here's alternate. Check this out. I'm the cat man.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Joe, do you have anything to add?
Nope. Thanks for listening and watching, whatever. How are you consumed us? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Just consume us. Sonny.
Good luck putting your own Peter list together. But I'll put this I'll put this out there so people can vote. I'll wait till the episode comes out.
Yeah, you guys could give us your own set list. 15 songs. They don't have to be all Peter Criss songs or Kiss songs, man. If you just want to hear Peter sing something, that would be, that'd be pretty cool. Joey.
Listen, I wish Peter did more stuff like, he released that little karaoke thing he was doing from his house of, I think he did, what did he do? Don't let me down? Is that what he did?
I think that's what he did, yeah.
It was just so cool seeing him nowadays singing some of his songs that you never got to hear him sing. I know he's retired. I know he's doing stuff. But, Peter, do more stuff like that. We'd love to hear you sitting in front of a mic just singing some of your old songs. It'd be killer.
Yeah, it's Christmas time. Go ahead. Do some Christmas song Catman style.
Love it.
All right. So, Joey, all right. Listen, you guys, I want to tell you all out there. We had a great week. You guys really tuned into us. So, almost 20,000 downloads in place. Thank you very much. We truly appreciate it. Just another year is going by. It's truly amazing. You know what I'm going to say? We love podcasts and we love Kiss podcasts. Most of them anyway.
That's the number one.
And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Meow.
Kill me. Kill him.
consider this moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare, classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.